You're listening to the PW Torch live cast for Friday, August 19th, 2016. We remember the life of Scott Williams, historian and writer. Wish him safe travels. I'll be joined in just a moment by Rich Finn from Pittsburgh. Travis is en route to Texas. T for Texas, not T for Tennessee. So that ought to be fun. Huge weekend of wrestling. Tonight's the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Tomorrow is NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn, and then SummerSlam in Brooklyn also. And I believe there is a big UFC fight. There's a big UFC event, including a professional wrestler in it, or a former professional wrestler in it, I should say, UFC 2002, bottles thrown and everything. So lots of stuff going on, lots of stuff to talk about. Let's bring in Rich. Welcome to the show. Thank you for holding the fort for me when I was out of town a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, no problem, Bruce. Always a pleasure, and this is a treat to actually do this with you tonight.
Yeah, it's good to be back behind the board. It's interesting to be back behind the board. I was trying to get back from out of town last time, and I couldn't quite get there. See, you think Travis is going to do okay in Texas?
I think he's going to do okay in Texas as long as he dips into the pool of being the single friend with the group of friends we all share and not dive fully in. Because almost everyone he knows or we know down there is with a wife or a girlfriend, so he could be the guy they pawn off on all the ladies. And, you know, that might lead to trouble for Travis, so I'm hoping he kind of moderates himself.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, everybody's looking – yeah, they all start looking out for you, and at least one half of the couple will be looking to hook you up. So that's yeah, that could be – you know, we've been there. That'll be interesting. I just like the idea of him moving into one of those really big red states, seeing how he does with that. But, yeah, it should be cool. I envy him. Austin, Texas has got a great reputation, so hopefully he'll have a good time and do well. And like you said, he already has – friends to hang out with. So what are you looking forward to most? I mean, that is like the common question this weekend. Which event are you waiting for? Is it the pre-show for SummerSlam? I mean, what is it that you're looking most forward to?
For me, I think it's going to be actually tonight's show. Luckily, I was able to do the show because I had a pipe burst in my house and had to get it fixed. Otherwise, I'd be in two-a-days with the team I helped coach here at Pittsburgh for high school football. So
yeah.
I'm sitting here and I'm waiting for the, as I drive home actually, I'm waiting for the Evolve show to start because I'm actually really interested to see where the next chapter in Cody Rhodes' career goes without the WWE umbrella.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So I'm going to be watching the Evolve show, the Evolve 65, 66.
And so Cody Rhodes is wrestling, remind me.
Zack Sabre Jr.
Zack Sabre Jr., so it's a whole different matchup, a whole different thing. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see whether he can adjust his WWE style to, and I'd say adjust it upwards for Zack Sabre, and I don't know how I said it, Zack Sabre. And he's going to be wrestling, I'm going to see him wrestle in September, Trevor Lee, in the old Dorton Arena stomping ground. So it's going to be, he's got an opportunity, I think, to remake himself. And Cody did a smart thing, I think, with that list. I thought that kind of set a standard and an expectation for everybody that gives us something to watch for, something to look for. So, yeah, I didn't say anything about Evolve and Cody Rhodes. So, but, yeah, Ring of Honor tonight, Evolve. I mean, there's a ton of stuff this weekend. This is, with the exception of WrestleMania, I guess this is the wrestling weekend of the year.
Oh, absolutely. And I would be remiss before we get started without saying – one of my good friends, Chris Maitland, who was a longtime PW Torch subscriber before he got married, got me 5.5, 6 years ago to do the Torch primarily because he loved your audio shows. And he's at the Evolve show, or at least going to the one tomorrow, because my wife, who is a former Duke cheerleader, loves Chris Hero primarily because he uses the Duke fonts in all of his merchandise. And he knows how much of a big Duke fan you are. So
right.
He would give me a very hard time if I did not mention, even though myself and he are not the biggest Duke fans, he's taking that bullet for me because he was that single guy once upon a time that had to hang out with the married guy.
Well, you knew exactly which button to push when it comes to me. The same thing that made me happy when I was 11 years old, a nice big recruiting class for Duke basketball still does. So, yeah, you're going to have to dish some dirt with your wife and share it with me at some point about Coach Krzyzewski and everything. But, yeah, I meant to kind of talk to you about that at some point or another. But that's cool. There's actually going to be next Saturday night, a CWF show in Chapel Hill where the lead babyface will be decked out in light blue and Carolina blue from head to toe. And the evil manager, the coach, will come out singing the praises of Mike Krzyzewski and be in the real blue. So I'm going to that show. I've had my moments in Chapel Hill where I thought I was going to get strung up, and this might be another one. So that ought to be
well,
fun.
Much like with your warning to Travis, I think it's all in timing because you know quite well his proclivity to push the envelope in many areas, and when he's in Texas. God, guns, and the three G's, God, guns, and gold are three things you really shouldn't mess around with, and he likes to. So that would be the only thing I think he should probably, ease up on. I know from going to Dallas for WrestleMania, it was very interesting. That was the first time I went to a Mexican restaurant for tacos and burritos, and I had a chimichanga, something like that. And Fox News was on, and that alone was kind of jarring to me. And seeing the proprietor not along as the things were said on there. So, yeah, that's place where Travis is going to have to button up.
Well, I told Travis the money move for Travis is a heel turn. He's so far one direction that if he goes down to Texas, if he turns the other direction and becomes, a red state Texan, like you said, the three G's, I think that he could really fly fast. Just take that same intensity and point it in the exact opposite direction. He didn't seem to like take too kindly my suggestion, but I think that's the move. I think that's where he could go. But North Carolina, I've definitely spent my time in diners looking up at Fox News, whether I wanted to or not. So that's just kind of part of what. That's kind of part of what goes on there. So, we talked about Zack Sabre and Cody Rhodes, but what match on SummerSlam are you looking most forward to?
I would say it's a continuation of what Triple H has done by way of the WWE with the NXT roster, and that's Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. If you told me as a Japanese wrestling fan nerd, 6 years ago, you would see Tyler Black and Prince Devitt wrestling for the WWE in a co-main event, I would have said you were crazy.
When you put it like that, you're exactly right. I mean, that's it is amazing. We're in a transition, and I don't think we know exactly what WWE is turning into. But this is going to be quite the moment. There's no two ways about it. So I'm taking it that you're really looking forward to NXT TakeOver with Samoa Joe versus Nakamura.
Absolutely. That match, I'm also much to Travis's chagrin, I am a big fan of some of the people who have escaped TNA. I have had a run-in joke with him. I thought when they had the Cowboy, James Storm, I was hoping that they would get Bobby Roode at some point to make Cerveza LLC or some other derivative that they could legally use in the WWE with them as a tag team. But seeing Bobby Roode with Glorious and the Glorious Bomb, I'm even interested in seeing him versus No Way Jose.
Yeah, he's. I've mentioned this several times, but I know that Todd Martin's not a fan, but I see him as a mid-card guy. But he's a guy with a lot of from around here, with a lot of energy and a very expressive face and all that. But yeah, I could definitely see that because Bobby Roode has that has that very straightforward, obnoxious deal going, and so he'd make a good counterpoint to No Way Jose. So I guess Austin Aries is going to do what he does, but we'll see where all that goes. But I'm really interested in how much NXT, NXT tickets have gone a little softer. So have Conor McGregor tickets for that matter, but NXT tickets have gone a little softer this year. I want to see if that passion's in that crowd. And does it prove to be? And I think it will be, and does it prove to be a real launching point for Nakamura? Because I mean that's going to be really interesting. That's going to be fun. So what's your prediction on Finn Balor and the Demon King, and his match with Seth Rollins? Who wins the Universal Title?
I think that it's going to be Seth, and I'm disappointed to say that because I really feel like if you have that sort of entrance and you have that sort of pomp and circumstance for a debuting guy that you're going to shoot him that high, you might as well go all the way. But I feel like there's going to be a screwy finish, and they might see it in the chase more than him realizing the dream match 3 in his main roster career.
Yeah, I mean, this is an important match. I mean, this is, you know, they shot a guy all the way to the top, so I'm very interested in where that goes and what they, you know, what they do with that. Let's pause for these commercial messages from PW Torch.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host 3 other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with a 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost 3 decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Recorded both Bruce Mitchell audio shows for this weekend. They should be up, if they're not up already, they should be up, both of them, momentarily, so that you can, as you listen to this, whatever time you listen to this, if you downloaded this show or are listening to it live, you can also listen to that in before the big shows this weekend. So, as we said, lots of stuff there, lots of good stuff with it. Rich, are you ready to take some calls?
Absolutely.
All right, let's start with our friend Darrell from Georgia, VIP member Darrell. Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast.
How you doing today, Bruce? How you doing today, Rich?
Good.
Doing well.
Thanks for asking.
Okay. Well, I have one question I want to start off with is about the Nakamura and Joe match. I feel like this weekend is a big weekend for these two guys, especially for the show that they put on, probably because they're the main event, and showing that they have potential on the main roster to add something. What do you guys think about that? And then I have something else after that.
Well, if I could go first, I think that at this point, if Joe needs to prove more, I don't know if anyone's looked at his body of work. Same with Nakamura. But I think if you give him the main event at NXT, My concern is, much like Bruce just mentioned, is the depressed prices of the resale value of the tickets. And it might be a situation akin to what happened in the first round of the Cruiserweight Classic, where the people expected to make a profit, but instead you cut into the actual fan base that's going to show up.
That's a good point. I mean, that's sometimes the games that are played with the ticket brokers can affect everything too. But yeah, I think that I think Joe. I mean, this is going to be a showcase for Nakamura, I would expect, but Joe also needs to come through, and he needs to provide that stage too. And he's the he's the veteran closer to the style than Nakamura. So, and those two have not had a match together, and it's there's some differences between the two. So it's going to be really interesting.
I was thinking the same thing also, but since they're building it as a sold out crowd, I was feeling that they're looking for them to be able to put on the show and just to prove something in WWE eyes, since they're always looking for you to prove inside of their system than outside, even though you have this stuff outside of their system.
Whenever you go from company to company, you are going to have to make some adjustments. And Nakamura's changed his style. You can debate whether it's for better or for worse, but we'll see. This is a big historic match. I think this is an important match. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. And this is probably the biggest thing, like people for like Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, Austin Aries. This is probably the biggest arena in a while that they have probably did something in a minute. So that's why I want to also see that. My second thing is about all the string of suspensions and how it kind of makes look a little fishy, especially with the Paige and Alberto Del Rio when she's still filming for the TV show, The Totally Divas. And all of this was reported that's supposed to be filmed and shown on there. How does this make the whole wellness policy look as a whole? I know it does good for people who addicts and stuff like that, help them out. But as a general, how does it look? Does it look like it's something that's suspect and something that people need to look up on and keep up on just to report on or what?
Well, I mean, I think I echo Wade Keller's words that we were talking about this. As long as WWE does not have independent, transparent testing, in other words, the agency that does the testing is independent of decisions from management, and that all the test results are transparent and follow a structure, you're going to have suspicion. The idea that WWE can play that can start their suspensions at a certain time and end them at a certain time for the convenience of the company, and just there's always going to be some suspicion, and the fact that at least one major player, Brock Lesnar, has in his contract that he cannot be suspended for outside agencies testing him, and he can't be tested by WWE, really puts the fairness issue right out there. So yes, there's always going to be questions with the way it's set up. I think WWE thinks that they can walk past it and sneak by it. But yeah, there's what can you say? Rich, what do you think about this?
I think one of the weird things about the situation, kind of talking about what Darrell is I don't think it's something that they're going to play out as a storyline, but it's that fishy timing. How are you going to set this up and say starting a day after SmackDown? Or the issue of you have these drug suspensions, but you don't have, like if this was another sport, you might be able to do Freedom of Information Act requests to figure out what was going on, or there's going to be a hearing or something that you're going to hear about, and then the drugs come out. So I don't think it's going to be something where Total Divas makes a storyline out of it, mainly because they're a publicly traded company and they can't play fast and loose with those sorts of storylines, I would assume, on a TV show medium.
I would be very surprised to see it on. Yeah, that's very much a point worth making. I'd be very surprised to see it put out there like that. And, there's some – I think some of the reasoning behind, like, a day after SmackDown and all that, that's not already clear will become clear as this comes through. But, no, I don't think WWE was looking for this or happy about it. But some of the timing of these things, it looks strange. So that's there. And I know that like there were years ago when TNA did some drug testing storylines and all that. I just think it's very hard to do that. I don't know. I think that's a really tough. I think that's a really tough and really kind of foolish thing to do, because what you want fans watching and the general public thinking is this what they're watching is about as clean as it can be. And when you're putting attention on the need for drug testing and the issue of PEDs and the issue of other drugs, you're not doing that. That doesn't work very well. So that's where it is. I appreciate the call, Darrell. Good questions. Of course, we're kind of waiting for this. Let's move to Kylan from New Jersey. Kylan, welcome to the PW Torch Livecast.
Thanks, Bruce. How are you and Rich doing this week?
Good, Kylan.
Yep, doing fine.
That's good, guys. My question for this week is on TNA departures, and as Rich and I have discussed this week, this will be directed on James Storm.
Okay.
This is actually in multiple parts here, so you might want to pay extra attention here.
All right, let us have it.
With Storm leaving, does this mean when he takes his presumed job at WWE that he will have a certain amount of heat because he decided to go back to TNA 8 months ago? Part one. Part two, will he be allowed to team with Bobby Roode again? And part three, does he ever make main roster television?
Those are the main James Storm questions. James Storm did not acquit himself well, in the eyes of WWE, last time, and they had some concerns. They had some concerns about how he handled himself in public. They had some concerns about how he about his negotiating and what he said, and frankly his in ring and how was he in shape enough and all that. So. I don't know if heat's the thing. I will say this. I'm not assuming that he's going directly to that he signed with NXT until I've heard that he signed with NXT. Of course, that's the assumption. And again, that's the assumption he wanted out there too. Does he team with Bobby Roode? He said he might be teaming, he said off the air at the TNA taping, he might be reuniting with an old friend. Which, so that means that he wants people to think of Bobby Roode, and there's a, as Rich said, there's a gimmick there, there's a beer money gimmick to be adopted and legally, vetted before they do that. But I don't know if they're going to do that or not. And then does he make it to the main roster? It's too soon to tell. Number one, he needs to sign with them, and number two, he needs to put, you need to see how they use him and what they've got for him. I could see Bobby Roode on the main roster before he's finished there. I'm not as sure about James Storm, even though I think that of the two, really James Storm is more marketable in that Southern Stone Cold Steve Austin, kick-ass way. And we'll see whether they want to – I don't know that they want to do that with him. So that's – that's just kind of part of what that is. Rich, you have any comments for that?
No, I'm kind of in the same boat as you are. The big difference I would say is I feel like James Storm came in, and I don't mean to be flippant or insulting to him about it, but he came in and half-shaped, half into the company, and really just 50% the whole way in terms of effort, in my opinion. And Bobby Roode has seemed to have been all in. So coming around with this second opportunity, if he does get it, I don't feel like that's something they're going to be tripping over themselves to do, especially with all the signings they're trying to get done for the Cruiserweight Classic, for their September class, which took hits with Moose going to TNA instead of, you know, waiting to see what they wanted to do. So I don't know if he's going to be the highest thing on their priority list, and I don't, to be honest, feel like he should be.
Yeah, you put it a little more directly than I did, and very well. I think you're right about that. PW Torch Livecast is sponsored by Loot Crate, a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Make sure to head to www.lootcrate, LOOTCRATE.com. And enter code PWTORCH to save $3 on any new subscription. Loot Crate is like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month. They also ship to 27 countries with more info on their site. Loot Crate is more than just a subscription service. It's an entire community of fans that share their experience and interact with each other around the unboxing of each month's crate. Loot Crate guarantees $40 plus in value in every crate. Sometimes it's a lot more. Every month there's a different theme, and all items are curated around that theme. Their themes are inspired by major movie and video game releases, as well as pulling from pop culture franchises such as Star Wars, Marvel, The Walking Dead, The Legend of Zelda, and many more. Again, head over to www.lootcrate.com and enter code PWTORCH to save $3 on any new subscription. Let's move to our friend, VIP member Brian from Phoenix, longtime VIP member. How's it going, Brian?
Hey, good afternoon, Bruce. Good afternoon, Rich. And I hope you both have a real good night. To start off with, I have a four-part question, so hopefully you guys can take notes. You can make sure you cover all this I'm going to talk about.
On it. I got a notepad open.
And I really appreciate Colin, but that was like one of the funniest things I've ever heard. One of the funniest things I've heard in a while. But to be serious, I'm gonna talk about the secondary, and I hate to really call them secondary WWE titles, but what I want you and Bruce to talk about is, so we have the four matches being the U.S. title, the Intercontinental title, the Women's title, and also Tag Team title. Tell me, what is your guaranteed title change for one of those four matches? So of course we have Intercontinental is Miz and Apollo Crews. We have Rusev and Roman Reigns for the U.S. title. We have Charlotte, and we have Sasha Banks for the Women's, and of course we have New Day versus the Club. So what is your guaranteed lock title change will definitely happen on Sunday at SummerSlam?
Wow, I don't see Miz losing. I don't see Miz lose. I mean, it's just not, it hasn't been built up enough for Apollo Crews to win that. So let's take that one off the board. I think Roman Reigns is going to beat Rusev, but somehow end up without the title, since they went out of their way to have to go ahead and show the match and have Reigns win clean. So I think there's a reason for that. Let's see. We did Intercontinental, did U.S. title. Women's title. I see Sasha Banks, I think, winning again. Although I think politically that's a really interesting call, because there are definitely people in power that don't see it in Sasha Banks. There are definitely people that do see her. Maybe even a son-in-law versus father-in-law deal here. And the one I would think would be, even though it's been a crappy program, and I just assume them not continuing on. I think Todd Barton talked about this, but I think that New Day loses to Anderson and Gallows. So that would be my four. Rich, what do you think?
I think out of that group, I would go with the New Day as the most vulnerable, if that makes sense, because I feel like right now they're taking Roman down the path of every other top star's attempt to get them back to prominence, and he's about to enter the John Cena U.S. Open Challenge, but that'll probably be closer to September than now. I would definitely say the New Day, if only to have them chase and maybe be more serious, though I have zero hope in that.
The chat room is open, by the way. It's been open, and hopefully someone's taken advantage of it. But if you'd like to talk, if you're listening live and you'd like to talk to folks about what we're talking about, if you'd like to chat with them, it's there for you. So, Brian, what do you think? Which one do you think is – do you think any of them are going to change hands? Which one do you think might be
My lock was going to be Charlotte, and just Charlotte beating Sasha. And no, you know, not thinking politics or anything. I'm just thinking they wanted to try to heat up Sasha, and that's the reason why they changed the belt the first time. I'm just going to bring it back to Charlotte. The one thing I'm expecting to happen, though, is for Big E to come out, you know, not come out toward the middle / end of the match, you know, for the big pop and have him do something to Gallus and or Anderson. And that's how New Day gets out of that match or retains their belt. Actually, I was going to say that's really it, Bruce. And Rich, I hope you both have a real good night and a good weekend. I'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it, Brian. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your wrestling weekend. You know what? I'm just going to do it. 718, and I know I'm going to be embarrassed with this. 718, you're up on the PW Torch livecast.
What's going on, Rich? What's going on, Bruce? It's Mike from Brooklyn.
Hey, Mike. What's up, man?
Got Mike Rich right here.
Bro. Hi, yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Are you going to these shows?
Well, I was supposed to have been going to SummerSlam, but doesn't look like it. I won't be back until New York until Monday morning, so I'll catch the Raw. Yeah, I had to catch a flight down to Atlanta. My son broke his arm, so he had to get surgery.
Oh,
basketball tournament, yeah.
Everything going to be all right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool.
He should be done. You know, he should be home. You know, home tomorrow. You know.
Yeah.
They'll be dunking on kids by like how many weeks until he's dunking on everybody again?
Right. You gotta just take it easy. So I'm gonna just watch it kick back with him and watch it, and I'll be back home by Monday morning sometime. I will catch the Raw, at Barclays Center. But
that's right.
The add on. And pound on what we was talking, what you guys were just talking about. Like, my goal is I see the club winning the tag titles from New Day, because it's like, even with Big E, even if you do the Big E thing, like, Sunday makes a whole, they had him. Where do you go from there with them as, Like, they already peaked with the tag titles. To me, New Day don't need them anymore.
Yeah, they really don't. To do the act, I'm just disappointed. I thought they had I thought they were on their way to kind of giving an extra dimension to their act, giving a more serious part to it, and then you'd have the fun too. But I think they want to keep them in the same position, and it is a position where they can sell merchandise, and it adds energy to the show. But I think you could do both. But yeah, but you don't have to have the tag belts to do that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think they peaked with the tag title, and to me, Apollo Crews versus The Miz is like the equivalent to me of, I wouldn't say Miz is Macho Man, but that's like the equivalent of JYD versus Macho Man on Main Event or something like that. Like they still haven't really, done anything to build Apollo Creed or for anybody to be interested in Apollo Crews. See, you got me calling him Apollo Creed now.
Well, yeah. Miz doing that, I think like you, it'd be foolish if you have big plans for Cruz. Like, this isn't the time. Like, they haven't built him. It's what Mike said. They haven't built him to anything. Like, this just you build him to something. So I don't expect that to be. I think that's a match that just not going to get a lot of emphasis on this show.
Yeah. And lastly, I love the way that they built Joe versus Nakamura. I mean, of all the championship matches for this weekend, I think that one is going to be blow away. I mean, don't get me twisted. Like, I know Ziggler and Ambrose, they're going to go out there and put on, and Balor and Seth, they're going to go put on. But the way that match was built, the sit-down interview, they even made Byron Saxton seemed to be, a little bit interesting when he was, sitting in the middle of both of them and, the pull apart. I thought that was masterful the way that was done.
Good basic pro wrestling story, storytelling. Rich?
I really liked William Regal throughout that entire
interaction because we were getting ready to do the East Coast Cast VIP and go and watch the Cruiserweight Classic, and I just couldn't stop looking. No matter how entertaining Nakamura and Joe was, every single time there was a question and it didn't end in violence, Regal did like a sigh release, like, thank you, God, I haven't lost like the entire main event of the fight just because these guys killed each other. And then Joe just went 0-60 when Nakamura just would not stop smiling.
Yeah. I say directly after this, if Joe loses, I mean, like, for him, like, that's the crime of the century, for him not to be on one of those main roster shows. That would be a crime of the century. I mean, the guy could perform, he could go, he could talk, he could listen to you, he could talk you into a building and into wanting to see him. Like, that's almost like throwback Dusty to me. Like, just him talking, you know what I mean? Making you want to see the build after him just, talking and laying it down. And the last thing I got for you guys, just reading around, circulating rumors that Undertaker's dyed his hair. And he could be possibly, making some sort of appearance, at SummerSlam. And that's all I got.
Yeah, there's some rumors, there's some rumors going around. We got an email question, too, saying that what if Brock Lesnar loses to we haven't talked about this a whole lot on the show today, but to Randy Orton, because Goldberg appears. So it's that time of the year. I don't know that there's anything to it. I would it's not as important with the WWE Network that they spike individual shows, even SummerSlam, but still I don't know. If they're doing something with Undertaker, I think they'd want to let you know that Undertaker is going to make an appearance at SummerSlam and do that. But I mean, I think we're going to hear maybe something comes through. I doubt it, but we're going to hear the next couple of days. It's SummerSlam rumor season, just like WrestleMania has its rumor season too. Rich.
In the case of art or video games imitating life, the last few years the WWE 2K game has come out. We've seen connections between the WWE and wrestlers we had not seen, or at least myself as a fan hadn't seen as possible. Ultimate Warrior, Sting, Brock, and now with the Goldberg tie-in and him saying he'll be in town for SummerSlam to do promotional work for 2K, that does lend itself quite well to what you guys are talking about. And I, for one, I think I'm leaning more towards that, especially with the last couple of years, than not.
My problem with Goldberg, and that's all germane to what we're talking about, those are all clues, and maybe they would do this. My problem with Goldberg, if Goldberg wants to come back for the money and to give his children a chance to see him, to see the whole Goldberg experience that they didn't get to see, why do it against Brock Lesnar? Because it's not going to be the Goldberg experience. It's going to be the I take a beating from Brock Lesnar, and either I win or I lose, and I give a beating back probably, but That just surprises me a little bit, and maybe that is what you do. Maybe that is what you do, and that's it is. I think the years have gone by since their last WrestleMania match. That was their last, that was Goldberg's last match, and quite the stinker. Fans just rejected it wholeheartedly because both guys were leaving. Maybe it's a dream match again, and maybe not. But I just think there's better. I just think if you're going to use Goldberg, you find someone to do the Goldberg match with, and that's enough of a threat. But still, he can do his formula, and he's been out of the ring all those years too. I don't know. I mean, maybe they do. I mean, and there's certainly interest in it. So sometimes a bad matchup with interest in it, you can use it to boost the show, and then during the show when the match stinks or it doesn't work out, it's too late because you've got everybody, you've got their subscriptions, you've got their tickets, so you've got what they're there for. So, thanks, Mike. Good questions. Let's move to 514. 514, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hi, this is Mark from Ontario.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Just a question. Why wouldn't Goldberg face that jobber that was on Raw with Strowman a couple weeks back?
I think if he comes back and he makes one television appearance, he has to take that guy. Yeah,
I mean, it has to be. I mean, that is the modern day Gilbert. So, that'd be great.
So, a couple of questions. I mean, you guys talked about it earlier. Is like with all the reverse psychology that WWE always does. So John Cena standing tall, you know, that implies that he's going to lose, right? Like traditionally in the pay per view. So I'm thinking because of Finn Balor standing tall over Seth, that Seth's the one that's going to go over. Is that what you guys are thinking? Historically, if that psychology is true?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm thinking that, but I don't think it's not a hard and fast rule. I do think that I do think maybe they gave something away with just being so nervous about John Cena. Wade Keller and I talked about this for Bruce Mitchell Audio for VIP members, but we, that they already had everything set up that John Cena had won an important match against Alberto Del Rio clean right in the middle on national television, all that stuff. And then that cheating bastard, AJ Styles hit him from behind, came from behind and hit him with, a Sunday punch. And now you've got everything set up, but then then John Cena recovered and beat him up and stood in triumph. I don't know why we need to even have the match, but yeah. So that made me think that maybe John Cena is going away for a while and AJ Styles, is going to win. And I also thought it was unnecessary. I mean, I think John Cena is strong enough to take a loss and then return for revenge and be just fine. And the act is, and then, as far as Finn Balor, I think something Rich was talking about, and I just see it like this. If you're really, if you're really going to make something out of him, and the Demon King is coming, I'm so sure I'm going to say Kane. Anyway, the Demon King is coming out for the first time. The Demon King better not come out for the first time and lose anyway. I mean, that just seems – I think that Finn Balor almost has to win this match, and that's where I'm – putting some money on, but I mean, I'm not putting any money on, but that's where I would bet. I mean, I'm not betting anything. That's what I would pick. So, Rich, what do you think?
I think, we talked about the Balor point, and I don't want to repeat that because I know the caller heard it, but on the other side with AJ, I think with Cena, some people put on Twitter animated GIFs of Cena and AJ in a house show tour, and Cena's doing the Canadian Destroyer and a suplex into a stunner and kind of bring in some of that more U.S. Open type Cena, I got these moves and I'm going to show you what I can do. So I think he is going to go out kind of on his shield like that to say, hey, I kind of did what I could against AJ. This dastardly guy put him through a table. He beats me at SummerSlam and then I disappear to do my shows. And whether or not AJ gets the title between now and then, they'll have a rematch sometime around the Rumble, if they so choose,
right.
And that's setting up for Cena's next thing. So I see it that way. And then with Rollins, while I think he's going to win just because I don't know, I just don't feel like I'm going to get my hopes up anymore when it comes to some of the things they do with those decisions. I can also see Balor winning, and then they have to turn it into this guy's going to be the man, and he's holding people off while he proves it. But I still have that nagging feeling in the back of my head. They wanted to be Seth and Roman at WrestleMania for that belt.
Yeah, they very well could. So, and they may think that they gave him enough that the chase is on now or something. But I don't like how they did. I don't like Wade and I talked about this a lot, but I don't like how they did the Demon. I think that the Demon should have been built up to, and it should have been, you should have heard some hints of you don't want the Demon coming out. And then the Demon, instead of just throwing it all out at one time, I just was not impressed. I don't know. I don't think that makes it as exciting as it could be.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else, editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987, and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
And, you know, really what you could do is order something from Amazon, really cool and expensive, and then we would get our little cut, and then send it to me. If you did those two things, you get two bangs for $1. I mean, I think that. Rich, what do you think about that?
Oh, you know, I always take the old school joke of, you know, you can send it to the Center for Awareness of Social Humanities, aka cash. If you, as long as you just write it down as cash, send me the check, it's okay.
There you go. Yeah, you know, this is professional wrestling after all. So, we do appreciate it and appreciate all the callers today too, really helping the show. And honestly, we do appreciate, you know, if you order through Amazon, it's back to school time. He said with tears in his eyes. And if you do it that way, it's not going to add any cost to it. And this is a grassroots business, so we really do, you know, we really do appreciate that. Guessing that this is Jason from our friend Jason from Australia. Let's try this. Jason, you're up next on the PW Torch Live.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce and Rich. I'll get straight into it. I guess the match at SummerSlam, the match that I'm looking forward to the most is Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler, because I think it just illustrates just how important storytelling is. Because the way that I see it, I think they've done a really good job of painting it that you really don't know what's going to happen to Dolph Ziggler's psyche if he actually loses to Dean Ambrose. Like, if he loses clean, you know, he could snap or it could tear him apart. And I think they've done a really good job with this match, and I'm really looking forward to the result. I mean, it's going to be a good match, but I'm more interested in the fallout. I guess the other thing to take into account, you're talking about John Cena. I don't know if this counts for anything, but the interesting thing with Cena at SummerSlam, if you go back and look at his record, he's actually got a shocking record at SummerSlam. His record's like about 2-9, so John Cena just doesn't lose at SummerSlam, just doesn't win at SummerSlam. And Bruce and Rich, I guess an important point, I see about 5 or 6 matches that should get good reactions from the crowd, but I'm concerned that, you know, you've got like about 12 to 13 matches on this card. By the time we get to the last match or the second last match, is the crowd going to be burnt out? Haven't they just stacked this card? I mean, what happened to the theory that less is more?
Oh, that theory went away a long time ago, Jason. You know that. And like, we're looking at, because you know, this card is stacked with a lot of matches. And not only that, but you know, are we going to have a 4-hour show plus an overrun, 4 hours and 20 minutes, and then there's a 2-hour pre-show with matches on it too. You know, less is more. I'm, you know, God, I would hope that they would start thinking about that again. But instead, if you're not safe, I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, there's so much wrestling just from WWE, and Mike was right. I mean, I didn't even put into account that they're running Raw. You know, there's Raw too, and then there's SmackDown. And you're talking about, let's see, two, eight, 11, 13, 14 hours of just WWE wrestling, and I'm counting NXT too. You know, in the next few days, and is it going to wear the crowd out? Yeah, I bet it does. It'll be interesting to see, are they worn out for Raw? but are they kind of – do they save their energy and then, you know, Sunday night and then are ready for those main events Sunday night? I don't know. Rich?
I'm glad that Jason – one of my favorite – you know, as a listener, one of my favorite calls. I love when Jason's on. I told Travis last week my bucket list item is now to hang out at some point in Perth with Jason and just enjoy the Australian experience. I think golf, I know both Wade and I saw Sean Radican online, and I don't know if I heard your opinion on it, but I know he's been screaming a lot and overmodulating and all that other crazy stuff on the mic. But I see it much like Jason does. It's desperation. He's putting up a false front because he knows it's true that he hasn't won the big one recently. And when he gave that promo Tuesday night and ended it with the super kick and stood over Ambrose and kind of just said, you're still not going to be enough, I'm in his boat. I'm looking at it as if he wins, it's great, and he might be the transitional guy a la Christian's one more match with Orton, and he's going to lose it to someone like AJ in a month or two, or if he loses and snaps and becomes a heel and just feels like, I tried it with the fans, I tried it with the grassroots, I just have to change everything up because I'm not going to be where I want to be unless I do. And that might even take what Wade mentioned, going to be, I'm Nick Nemeth. Forget this Dolph Ziggler crap. I'm Nick. I'm one of the best wrestlers ever that's wrestled in Ohio, and I'm going to prove it to you guys every week.
Yeah, and the other part is he can drop some what's become to me problematic with his act, which he can, you know, I'm the show stealer when they didn't. And it's always, I mean, I always thought it was stupid to say you're the show stealer, and yet you lose matches all the time. It's like that gimmick didn't connect for him. When Shawn Michaels was Shawn Michaels, he was winning. You know, he was winning in spectacular fashion. He was winning as an underdog. He was doing what he did. But so you could drop some of the more, you know, I'm here to perform for you fans and all that, and go back to and be meaner and more selfish and not even bitter toward the fans, but just, you know. And so when I think about this match, I think you're right. He could win it, and that would help. But I think he loses in a way that's almost tragic, like he's really doing well, and then something goes wrong that's not his fault that causes him to, you know, that causes him to snap, and then you've got, you know, you've got a heel, and maybe he joins with AJ Styles, maybe there's some alliances on the heel side that he could make that could help him too. So, yeah, that's a real interesting part of it. Jason, what else you got for us?
Well, appreciate the kind words, Rich. Thanks very much for that. The other match I want to focus on is Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton. Now, what I'm looking forward to is Brock Lesnar giving Randy Orton the RKO, but Lesnar giving Orton an F5, but Orton turning that into an RKO. I mean, I can see that happening, and I think it's going to look spectacular. But here's the thing, Bruce and Rich. From my calculations, I think the last time Lesnar was pinned was, and I mean like pinned, 1, 2, 3, was at WrestleMania 29. So we're looking at, say, 1,000 days since Brock Lesnar actually lost himself. I'm surprised this hasn't been brought into the story. And I'm also surprised, Bruce, that I sort of sense you're going a little bit back and forth on who you think should win this match. I just don't see what you mean by that. Surely Brock Lesnar beats Randy Orton and you keep that heat with him, so the next guy who beats him carries that. I don't see that transferring over to Randy Orton. Lesnar's got to stay strong. So in my mind, your next up-and-coming babyface pins him clean, and Lesnar goes off into the sunset.
Wade and I talked about this in depth for the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I have a very strong opinion about this. It is the opposite of your opinion, and I think I made a pretty good case for it. I think that they've you can definitely look at it the way you're looking at it. But I think, and I'm not going to go into it too far, but I think they've done a great job with the RKO. And I think you can come out of this with the RKO a much better weapon for Randy Orton than it's been in the past. And that's what I would look to do. And as I said, Wade and I went through all the details of what that loss would mean for Brock Lesnar, which you can do after that and all that on the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show for VIP members. And Jason, I know you'll be listening, so you can give me your feedback after you hear it. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that's a big match. Let me ask both of you, what's the real main event of SummerSlam? Let's start with Jason.
That's tough. That is a tough question. I guess you would like to say it is the World Championship featuring Ziggler and Dean Ambrose, but I see that match probably going on fifth or sixth, considering it's a 12 match card. Look, I would have to say Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, realistically. I mean, yeah, that's a tough question, Bruce. I mean, because you can make the argument Lesnar, Orton, Cena, Styles. I mean, surely one of the championships have to go on last. If one of the championships are not going on last, I see that having an issue. So I would have to say the match that goes on last is Rollins and Balor, but I don't say that with any real confidence.
Rich, what do you think?
I think in the piece that you were kind of writing as far as Balor winning, if he does the demon and all that entrance, having him raise his arms with the title and having the fans do it with him would be the way I would ideally want to end SummerSlam as far as visuals. If it's going to be Brock standing over a prone Orton, I don't see the attraction for that unless Goldberg's there and he gets speared and jackhammered and Goldberg snorting into the camera as the lights go out. So I'm more inclined to say Orton Lesnar because of that.
I'm kind of with Jason in that I'd want one of those world title matches. I might go with Finn Balor and Seth Rollins last, and really try, particularly if Finn Balor's winning. So, and maybe even if he's not, but because the symbolism of Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar, guys have been around for 15 years off and on, or John Cena, and you know, John Cena's the easy one with AJ Styles if John Cena's winning. I think that's going to be rejected by that New York crowd. So it's interesting. Wade was talking about Undertaker. There's the Undertaker rumors, but Undertaker is not booked on this show, and he was he fought Brock Lesnar last year, and there's not a match at that kind of special attraction level this year. So to use, so that would be that is interesting. What else do you have for us?
I guess with Goldberg, I have no desire to see him facing Brock Lesnar at all. I mean, I would think a good opponent for Goldberg would be a Rusev type, or indeed, something interesting is you go down the path of a Roman Reigns and you have the spear versus spear. Would have surprised me if I see him show up in that match between Rusev and Reigns. And speaking of Rusev and Reigns, I just have to say, I think Rusev, his performances, his matches, the way he carries himself, the certainty on the mic, his character, I think is tremendous and a good potential world title matchup I see down the line, maybe at Survivor Series. If you go with Finn Balor as Universal Champion, you get the U.S. title off Rusev, and you have Rusev challenge Balor. I think it's a great matchup, the underdog champion against the monster heel and Rusev. I just find him tremendously entertaining, and I think that's a very good matchup perhaps later on in the year. What do you think about that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're starting to get Rusev and Lana back on track. I mean, she's not quite there, but he's really seems more confident in his promo work. Although his accent sometimes comes and goes, but that Matt Hardy's accent comes and goes. I don't even know what it is, but that's okay. And I think that he's going to be right. He's going to be right there with it. So ready to do that. So I think down the line, that's where they may be headed. Jason, appreciate the call. How would you like to get all your favorite NBA teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out FanEssentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear. It makes a great gift idea for any sports fans. Prices start at just $34.99. Visit FanEssentials.net and use promo code PWTorch at checkout for 30% off your first month. Visit FanEssentials.net to get all the essentials you need. For VIP members, 2 hours of the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show already in the can for you to listen to NXT coverage. that I'll be involved with, Wade Keller will be involved with, and the rest of the Torch staff. Lots of stuff to listen to, of course, roundtable reviews after SummerSlam. But I want to take a moment. You know, Rich, you made me look bad when you replaced me with Travis, and I think that you made Travis look bad today. So I really appreciate your help on the show.
Oh, no problem. Always glad to help. And as I mentioned to Wade in one of my emails to him, as the unpaid intern of the East Coast cast, I just like getting in here as the guest host that doesn't screw things up and just stays out of the way.
Well, you don't screw things up. You didn't stay out of the way, and that was a good thing. I thought your points were dead on, so really appreciate that. And we will talk to everybody. Rich, thanks a lot for your help, and we will talk to all the callers next Friday. Thank you for calling, and thanks for everyone downloading and being a VIP member, all that good stuff. I think I thanked a whole bunch of folks. So there we are. This is the PW Torch Livecast for Friday.